Hello and welcome to another episode of It's a 90s Christmas Podcast, the podcast that is bringing you back to those magical Christmas mornings as a kid. I am one of your hosts, Lyle Perez.
And I'm your other host, Dr. Fraser Crane.
That was a terrible impression, man.
I'm sorry, I did my best. Kelsey Grammer's voice, it's the best voice on earth. I love it so much.
It is great. It is one of those voices that when I did a lot of writing and I wrote a lot of novels, and when they got turned into audiobooks, I always thought in my head, it would be so wonderful if Kelsey Grammer would read one of my novels. It would have been the best thing in the world.
Oh, absolutely. Now I am your other host, Lasse Vogt, of course.
Yes, Lasse. And with that, people probably already realized it because they either heard your introduction or saw the title. We are doing Frasier. And the episode we saw is Miracle on 3rd or 4th Street. It is on Season 1, Episode 12. This one originally aired on December 16th, 1993.
Absolutely. It did. Yes.
It did. We're time traveling back to December 16th, 1993, when this one aired. It was a wonderful episode. And if you don't know, if you lived under a rock, Frasier was an American sitcom that aired from September 16th, 1993, all the way to May 13th, 2004. That is a long run. Show was created by David Angel, Peter Casey, and David Lee. The show aired on the NBC network for a total of 11 seasons, with 264 episodes produced. I think this one is the longest running sitcom we've done to date. I don't think any of the other ones went this long. Maybe Family Matters got close, but 264, geez.
That's a lot of fish.
Yes. And Frasier is a spinoff of Cheers, as it continues the story of psychologist Frasier Crane. Did you ever watch Cheers?
I think I've seen bits and pieces here and there, but when it ran, I was too young, obviously, or not born yet, and it wasn't the type of show I was really interested in.
Yeah, Cheers was before my time too, but not that much. I mean, I was alive; I was just a baby, so I don't think I'd be watching Cheers. But Cheers is an awesome show. We got to do that one too. I'm pretty sure we can. I think it falls into the 90s realm, because I think one of the last Christmas episodes happened in the 90s, but we'll see. I'll do the math later.
Okay.
So the series was critically acclaimed. The show itself and the cast won a total of 37 Primetime Emmy Awards, which included Outstanding Comedy Series. The show is absolutely no joke. Man, this thing is like... everyone loves this for some reason. There's even talks about it coming back now, like they're doing a revival. If it will happen, I don't know. It's still in the early stages, but I kind of would like to see that. Out of those 264 episodes, we got 3 Halloween and 8 Christmas episodes, 8 of them. I have not seen all of them, which you might be thinking, wow, that's pretty weird, Lyle. We actually got to something that Lyle didn't see. The show centers around Dr. Frasier Crane as he returns to his hometown of Seattle, Washington. After his marriage fails, he starts a radio advice show, kind of like Dr. Laura. Have you ever heard of Dr. Laura?
No, not at all. What is that?
It's the same exact show as what Frasier Crane does, but Dr. Laura is like way brutal. She basically... oh. Like somebody would be like, yeah, I'm not sure about my husband, or I'm not sure about this relationship that I'm in. And then she basically just says, you know what? You got to leave him, you stupid.
Is it a sitcom too? Is this a real show?
It's a real radio show.
Oh,
I will send you the best of on like a YouTube thing or something so you can listen to how brutal this lady is.
Oh, please do.
I will. So we basically follow him as he deals with his new life as a divorced man. He is now a bachelor, and we get to meet his family too. They just don't make things easy for Frasier, which is the best thing in the world, especially his dad.
Yeah.
So Lasse, tell us about this show in Germany.
Well, in Germany, the show ran from April 24th, 1995 on the channel Kabel 1. It's also quite popular here. It got this whole dubbing and everything, and it's a pretty good dub, but I prefer watching it in English. I actually first discovered this show through my film studies, because they showed us a scene, a dialogue between Fraser and his brother Niles, and I immediately fell in love. I was like, oh boy, this is really funny. And then I watched a few episodes here and there, but didn't quite catch the whole series. And then this very Christmas, my parents got me the whole show, all 11 seasons in this big package, and they run over a total of 44 DVDs.
Holy smokes, 44. Goodness.
I know. I haven't seen it all yet. I kind of know how the show ends because of cultural osmosis, but I haven't seen the whole thing. I'm looking forward to finishing the episodes over the course of the next 5 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, I don't remember how it ends. It's been such a long time that I just don't remember.
Yeah, so you watched it every now and then.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that I would watch. Again, it's one of those nostalgic shows where I remember it as a kid. I remember Cheers more, and I knew Frasier existed. I just never, like, sought after it as much as I did Cheers. But it was there. I mean, it's something that, again, when I started compiling a lot of Christmas episodes into one big old file, I thought of all of these sitcoms that I never really watched that I should really go watch, and Frasier was one of them. I ended up watching it. I really liked it. It was a lot of fun. My wife had the biggest crush on David Hyde Pierce.
Who doesn't?
So we would watch the show, and then I would have to sit there and be like, "Wow!" and listen to her say, "Wow, he's a really handsome man," and I was like, "Okay, whatever."
Yeah, oh man, yeah, totally. I think I know this much. On Cheers, Niles wasn't Frasier's brother. They changed it for Frasier, actually.
Yeah, they did a lot of things like that. I believe his dad was dead in Cheers, but somehow he was alive here. So it was, I don't know, it's just one of those things where they had to ignore some of Frasier, his backstory in Cheers, to kind of make it all fit into what it is here in this one.
Yeah, let's just pretend it's taking place in a parallel universe or something.
Yes, but the cool thing is a lot of the Cheers people do show up in Frasier. I believe Diane shows up and Sam shows up. They all show up and make cameos.
Oh, yeah. I noticed that because I know who is a Cheers for the most part.
Yes, totally. So who's in the show?
Well, we have, of course, the one, the only Kelsey Grammer as Dr. Fraser Crane. He's very high class and has relationship problems. He loves opera and also likes it when things are going his way.
He sure does.
We have David Hyde Pierce as Niles Crane. He's Fraser's younger brother, also a psychiatrist. And he is married to a wife we never see throughout the whole show. We only hear him talk about her.
Yeah, and that's just one of those things where they do that a lot in the show, in shows like this. They'll like mention characters. Cheers had one too with Norm's wife. What's her name? Vera, I think it was Vera. That you never see her, but she's always like mentioned.
Yeah, they do that stuff in Little Britain too with certain characters where you only hear the voices.
Yeah.
There's this one British show. What was it? This can't be happening. Dad's Army. The World War II show, Dad's Army, very very famous British sitcom. They do that with the wife of Captain Mannering.
Yeah, they do it a lot. I mean, it's everywhere. Big Bang Theory does it. I can't think of anywhere else, but I mean, there's a ton of them that do that for some reason. I think it's just comedy gold right there.
Budget cuts.
Yes, budget cuts.
Ah, oh, that's great. The other ones, we have John Mahoney as Martin Crane. He's the father of Fraser and Niall, an injured police detective, now retired, and he lives with Fraser. That's the status quo in the first episode. Jane leaves. She plays Daphne Moon. She's Martin's life and housekeeper from England. Niles is infatuated with her, which delivers wonderful jokes, especially in this episode.
Yes, in this one.
And we have Perry Gilpin as Ross Doyle. She's one of my favorite characters. She's the producer of Frasier's radio show. She has a lot of male relationships. And she becomes one of the closer friends of the family. And yeah, she's quite the problematic person sometimes.
She is quite the character, always putting Frasier in check.
Yeah, it's amazing. And also in this episode, we have a couple of different characters. Dan Butler plays Bulldog Briscoe. He's a recurring character. This is not the only episode he shows up in. Yeah. He's a male chauvinist, always boastful and quite horny. He also works at the radio station as a sports show host. He has the slot right after Frasier, for the most part, and that always causes some trouble between them. And we have in this episode only also Catherine Danielle as Bonnie Weems, host of a car-related show. This is her first appearance. Richard Poe as Chopper Dave, also working at the station. Christine Estabrook as Lou. She's playing a diner waitress. John Finn as Tim, a possibly homeless guy at the diner. Hawthorne James as Bill. He's also a diner guest. And there are some other things I will leave for the trivia.
Yes, we will do that.
Also, people we need to know but don't show up in this are Lilith. She's the ex-wife of Frasier, and hers and his son Frederick. He's a key part of this episode, even though he doesn't show up.
Yes, and it's not one of those things where they're imaginary characters. They are real actors that come onto the show every so often. Lilith was on Cheers, and she does make a lot of appearances here, so it's not one of those things where they never show up. We actually get to see them. So the quick synopsis of this episode is Frasier's plans to a Merry Christmas with Frederick, Martin, and Niles are derailed after Lilith cancels the plans to take Frederick to Austria.
Yep.
And there's more details, but we will get into it in the run-through. So Lasse, you got anything else to say about the show?
No, so far so good, I think.
Sounds great. So we will go into a commercial break. When we come back, we'll give you a full run through. We will be right back.
So treat your family to the finger-licking good taste of the KFC Family Merry Meal with 12 pieces of original recipe chicken, plus a delicious triple chocolate cake and Play-Doh for the kids.
And welcome back. We hope you enjoyed that wonderful Christmas commercial. I bet it was a good one.
Oh, yes.
So in this episode, if you don't know the structure of the show, when we do the run-throughs, I take a scene, Lasse takes the other, I take a scene, Lasse takes another. So we're going to do it a little bit different in this episode. We're going to try it out, see how it goes. Lasse is going to do the first half of the episode, and I will do the last half. We're going to see how that goes. If it ends up going good, then we will do it like this from now on, because it is a lot easier for me to do it this way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can share a little bit more of the work. And so that just makes me feel all the more I'm a part of this show.
It's not just me saying, no, I got to do the notes, dang it. So, yeah, go ahead. And I guess since this is the first time, we're not sure exactly how it's going to work. But you just go ahead and start. If I feel like I need to say something, I will stop you and we'll get into it.
Yes, amazing. Do that. So, let's start with the first scene. After the simple but wonderfully laid-back opening title, which just says Frasier with the Space Needle, I think it's called, and a little elevator animated in it, the first segment, called The Office Christmas Party, starts. Frasier is sitting in the studio and wishes his listeners happy holidays. Ross can't wait for the show to finish because she wants to get drunk. We can already see the rest of the network outside having their little office party.
Yeah, this is one thing that I've missed about, because I don't work for a company anymore. I work, I'm self-employed, so I do whatever I want, basically. This is one of those things that I really do miss about working at a company is the Christmas parties, because trust me, the people that you thought were like saints, they turn into filthy people at Christmas parties. It's the best thing in the world. I want, like, literally, I would love to start working for a company in Christmas time so I can get to the Christmas party just to see all that stuff, because it's the best thing in the world.
Yeah, who knows what the future has laid ahead of me. Maybe I will work for a company someday, and then I will have to endure one of those Christmas parties. Who knows?
They're the best. Maybe some terrorists will take over, and you'll have to throw them off the Nakatomi Tower.
Yeah, and then I say, yippee-ki-yay.
Yes, and we know the rest, but keep going.
Then Bulldog comes in and says Father Mike has had a few, because he's trying to get everyone to reenact the nativity scene. And Ross says, well, we know who he can get to play the ass.
Zinger.
Yeah, and leaves. A wonderful pun. Frasier gets a gift from under the table for Ross. It's a trick microphone that squirts water. He says to Bulldog that they agreed on not exchanging gifts. That's why he brought a gag gift. And Bulldog is trying to get Frasier on the noon to four slot on Christmas because he wants to get together with his family. But Frasier says no, because his son is flying over to spend the holidays with him. Then Frasier, because he's the newest on-air personality, gets told that he will have to drive Bonnie Weems home, who does the auto show and always drinks too much at parties. As soon as everybody hears that Frasier will drive her, they start laughing. He asks Ross why, and she's amused as well, because Bonnie tends to get amorous.
Mm-hmm. And I have it written down here. Ask Lassa if he'll take Bonnie Weems home.
I would take her home, yes.
Okay, will you be a gentleman? Nah, we shouldn't get into it. Keep going.
I'm always for gentlemen.
Of course.
Frasier gives her his gift, and she reveals that she has something for him as well. The way he's just delighted and says, oh no, really? It's like a little boy. It's just wonderful. I love his part so much. She got him a new briefcase. He feels ashamed, and she opens her gag gift and pretends to be happy. It's awkward.
Yes, it is a very awkward scene.
Then Frasier meets Bonnie Weems, who is already a little drunk and looks a little vamp-ish. He says that she just has to tell him when she's ready and he will drive her. She finishes a drink, says, I'm ready now, baby, picks him up like a child, and leaves the room. He looks very surprised.
That is such a weird, like, office thing that everybody knows that this happens, and nobody really says anything wrong about it. They're all just like, oh, it's just one of those things that happens around the office.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, wouldn't, like, way more men actually want to drive her home if it's that easy to, you know, get with her during this time?
I mean, maybe, but I think the whole idea is that she's very butch, so nobody wants to. I mean, she basically grabbed Frasier and put him over the shoulder and walked out with him. So I don't know if guys would find that attractive. I think that's what the joke is. I mean, I don't know, because if she was like a smoking hot chick, people would be like, oh yeah, I totally take her. No problem.
I guess maybe, but in mind, I was like, hey, I mean, she's quite the attractive woman. I wouldn't mind, you know, spending some time with her.
Oh boy, this turned into It's a 90s Christmas podcast after hours type deal.
So let's continue with the second scene. In Frasier's apartment, Niles drinks eggnog, puts it down, and doesn't see how Dog Eddie also drank some of it. Oh, we didn't mention Eddie in the introduction. He's also one of the big characters in the show. He's the dog of Martin.
Yes.
In the first episode, I think he introduces him to Daphne and says, I call him Eddie Spaghetti. And she asks, does he like pasta? No, he has worms. Frasier comes in and is pleasantly surprised to see Niles. He says that he just stopped by to get an opinion on a gift he was considering for Maris, his wife I mentioned, who we never see in the show. Daphne comes in wearing a very revealing and short black dress. She asks Niles if she should put the little red one back on so he can make a choice. Niles looks a little ashamed, and Frasier says he should have all the information he needs. Daphne leaves, and Niles tries to find an excuse, but fails. Then Father Martin comes in, and Frasier says that he put Bonnie in a cab, so he didn't drive her home. He was, I guess he did what all the men did.
Yes, just put her in a cab, send her home, and he prayed for the taxi driver.
Oh boy. Martin says that a bulldog called about the slot on Christmas Day, which upsets Frasier again. Daphne comes back with both dresses in hand and tells Niles that the black one was so tight that she had to take her undies off just to get the zipper up, which causes Niles to drop his glass. He looks shocked.
Yes. Very amused.
She's always so blunt with her expressions. Like, she doesn't think about anything. Like, she has pretty much no shame when it comes to anything. It's just so hilarious how she always makes the men around her ashamed.
Was she supposed to be English?
Yes, she's English, totally. I mean, the accent, and she mentions in the first episode that she's from Britain.
She sounds more Scottish to me than anything.
Oh, there's a little hint of Scottish,
like,
in her accent.
Like Irish, maybe?
That's still the same island, so it counts.
I don't know. Let me look it up. You keep going. I'll see if I can find if she's really from England, because I don't buy it. That action doesn't sound right.
Okay. The phone rings. It's Lilith, Frasier's ex-wife. He goes into his room for the call, and the others are talking about the Christmas plans. Niles really wants Daphne to come to his cabin with the others, but she's driving to San Francisco to her uncle Jackie. Frasier enters and says that Lilith isn't sending Frederick because he has the chance to spend Christmas in Austria in the house they shot The Sound of Music in, along with other wonderful activities. Frasier is upset because he knows that he has to let Frederick go to that house. Then he gets upset about the decorations and yells at everyone, revealing that he won't go to the cabin. Even Eddie is sad about all the shouting.
Yes, yeah, so I'm just looking up the accent. There's a lot of people that have the same conclusion as me.
I think she mentioned a village or something in the first episode, but I didn't bother to look it up because I was like, whatever, you know, it's just nice. I mean, you are not a fan of the British accent, but no. I am, so.
All right, well, as far as the British accent goes, I found a little article that says that Daphne Moon's accent is all wrong, and then question mark. People are saying that she's supposed to be from Manchester, and her accent is from Yorkshire. So she's still English, but just a different accent. Her accent's all wrong for the character. Which I can't tell the difference.
Americans.
I can't tell the difference between this one or that one. I mean, it all just sounds like what to me, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there was a hint of Scottish in her accent, but it's most Scottish accents are way thicker, like the one Hobbit has in Lord of the Rings, Pippin, played by Billy Boyd. He has this wonderful Scottish accent. Don't encourage it, Mary. Next scene. Frasier obviously has taken the Christmas slot, and Ross has to be there too, missing Christmas with her mother. She is not happy at all. On top of that, Frasier isn't dressed well at all, wearing an old sweater and jeans, and Ross is afraid that only the most depressed people will call in. Frasier says that maybe by trying to help other people that would help him, and they could actually have a nice Christmas together. They make peace, and Frasier, now much more enthusiastic, starts the show and makes the opening all whimsical. But Ross says the commercial was on and that he will have to redo it.
Poor Frasier. I had to redo the whole thing. That scene is very familiar to us.
Oh, yes. Oh, God.
We are not professionals, so it is one of those things where we have to... The editing is the best part of this show.
Yeah. I mean, we can edit it. They are live.
Yes, they're live. I wouldn't be able to do live shows.
No, not at all. I maybe.
Yes,
with a little
maybe.
Practice.
Yeah, no, I can't do it. So I believe it is my turn now. So we come back from looking down at the clock because he basically starts the show. He looks up and then you see what time it is, comes back down. And we are in the second hour of Frasier's show. It's very depressing. A guy named Ned calls in to share a story on how he got mugged on the way to the soup kitchen. And John calls to tell them how he got filled with the Christmas spirit. And they're all like, hey, cool. I mean, finally, we got a nice Christmas story. His story goes, he was driving home from the gym and he left his favorite sneakers on the roof of his car. When he looked back down, some homeless man was already picking them up off the ground. So he said that he just kept on driving. He didn't even bother to go back and pick them up. And we get to another caller named Barry. He is nothing but a crier. He just cries. Frazier put him on hold because he really wants to help him through this, but he just kept crying. And as I was doing this this scene, what I realized was this is my favorite scene of the whole episode. is the like the first 2 minutes or so that I had to do. So instead of going into much detail, because I kind of went through it very briefly on that whole section, we're gonna play it for you later, so just keep that in mind. That's why I kind of went through it all really fast. You're gonna hear the whole thing because it is like the best thing when the guy when the guy says about the puppy that Santa came when he wake up, I straight up died. I know that sounds very terrible, but it's just one of those things where it hits you because it's so unexpected.
Yeah, like all the good jokes do.
Yes, so after my favorite scene, we see Roz, who's face down on the control board, and Frazier runs in to see what's wrong, and she's sobbing. Frazier tells her to go home. He'll cover the last 2 hours, no problem. She asks, wouldn't it be more depressing by himself? He replies with, he doesn't think that's possible. Roz leaves to go be with her mom, but before she goes, she tells Frazier to not just sit there all day and be depressed. That's not what she wants. And that he'll see Frederick again very soon, so don't be too depressed about it.
Yeah, and the way Frazier and Roz get more and more depressed along with the callers, it's just hilarious.
It is awesome.
How he's just slumped in his chair and the microphone is on his chest up to his chin. It's just...
If only we can podcast like that. I'd do it from my bed.
Oh, yes. Ah, amazing.
So Frazier is now in the last part of his show and is pleading to the audience for someone to call in with a good, joyful Christmas story. Because so far, it's all just depressing stuff. He takes a call from Jeff, who tells him that he used to get depressed during Christmas, and now he knows a surefire way to beat it. He puts on The Sound of Music, and I died with laughter, since this is the reason why Frazier is so depressed, is because of The Sound of Music and his son.
It's great how he says it, because it's like, when you put on The Sound of Music, who could ever be depressed on Christmas? And Frazier's like, are you a betting man?
Very cold, straight-faced. All right, so now we're at the end of the show, and he's wishing all of his depressed listeners to treat themselves to something special this Christmas. He's going to go out to a good restaurant to have a great Christmas meal. He doesn't know where, but he knows. He does know that it will have a lot. It will have a liquor license. And then he goes on saying he's just kidding. Don't drink and drive. Got to be responsible. Yeah. So we get to the diner, and it's named Lou's. That's the name of the diner. It looks like a rundown place. Like, this is one of those diners where it's like a hole in the wall. He sits down next to a homeless man who's dozing off at the bar. The waitress says that she'll get him a menu, but everyone's just having the Christmas platter. And the Christmas platter consists of a turkey log with mashed potatoes and a Yule log for dessert. I don't know what any of those things are, but they sound hideous.
Yeah.
So Frazier goes for that. He's like, yeah, sure, just give me that. The bum next to him starts a conversation asking if he's having a good Christmas. He tells him his troubles about Frederick and the arguments with his dad. Frazier asks him the same question. And Tim, the bum, says that he's having a good Christmas. I mean, the other day he was crossing the street when these great sneakers flew off the back of a truck. This is the same guy from the radio call. And I really like how true this is. Funny things about life like this. Like, this is such a good coincidence. And things like this do happen in real life, which is so weird. But it's just hilarious.
The story arc is complete, just like we discover funny things, you know, having to do with Germany on our podcast and all of that.
Yes, it's all just fun things, and that's life.
Yes.
So flash forward to Frasier slowly finishing eating his meal. Another homeless man walks in and says hello to Tim. He asks how his platter is, and is it as good as last year? And Frasier replies, well, I'm not sure this isn't last year's. Frasier tells the man that he's done and he can take a seat. He starts searching for his wallet to pay for the bill, but it's not there. He's like frantically looking for it in all of his pockets. He tells the waitress that something embarrassing has happened, that you know, he lost his wallet, and she instantly goes for it. Okay, so you can't pay your bill? Like, this isn't the first time somebody has tried to pull this. And Frasier assures her that no, he can pay. He just forgot his wallet. He needs to go back to the office to go get it. And she's not going for it. So Tim overhears this and you know, yells out to Lou, "Hey Lou, don't worry about it. That, you know, the meal's on me." And he starts taking money out to pay the bill and tells Frasier not to worry about it. They've all been there. You know, don't be embarrassed. It's fine. He tells everyone in the diner to chip in for his meal. I mean, to help the guy have a good Christmas meal. All the while, Frasier's telling him that it's fine. He makes a good living. Like, he has money to pay. He doesn't have to do this. And Tim just, you know, keeps thinking he's making stuff up to not be embarrassed. And Frasier is rather touched by this. It sure is a good deed being done here. That people would give money they don't have to help strangers at Christmas. It's a really good message right there.
Yeah.
So Frasier tells Tim that he's so embarrassed, and Tim tells him, don't be. The rest of the year belongs to the rich people with their big houses and fancy cars, and he points to Frasier's car that's parked right outside the window. Then he goes on to say that Christmas belongs to guys like them. Bums, I'm assuming. And Frasier says he'll never forget this Christmas, and he starts walking outside. And everyone's watching him as he's walking by the door, but through the window. He doesn't want them to see that the car that they were pointing at was his. And everyone turns from the window after they all wave, and he ducks and gets inside the car. And he's sitting there for a second, and inside of the diner, Lou, like, says, "Hey, did somebody lose some car keys?" And she picks them up. And it doesn't belong to anybody there, because we know who it belongs to, because at that very moment, the car door opens and Frasier sneaks back out and heads into the diner to find his keys. He sneakily tries to look for his keys underneath everyone's legs, but Tim sees them and says, "Hey, we're not buying you dessert too, man," which seems weird because the Christmas platter came with dessert already. It was the Yule log, so I don't know if that was a writing mishap or they needed it for fun. Who knows?
Yeah.
But he says that he forgot to wish them a Merry Christmas. And then it's a big, "Hey, Merry Christmas." And Tim throws him a quarter and tells him, "Hey, go call your old man." And Frasier's very touched by all of this and, you know, thanks the man. Frasier walks out and he walks away from his car because he can't get his car keys. Now he's really embarrassed. So that's the end, basically. We do get a final scene, but it's just basically the dog Eddie opening up a present and that's it.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, that's always how the show goes, pretty much. There's just sometimes there's kind of a story arc to be finished while the credits are rolling, but for the most part, it's just something funny or stupid that's happening.
Yeah, I mean, but with this ending, I was like, do we ever see Tim again? Like, this seems like an opportunity for a later episode, but I looked up the actor and nope, he was only in this episode. So Tim never makes another appearance. It would have been good if, like, you know, five seasons down the road, he bumps into Tim and helps him for something because he you know, he's repaying the favor for the Christmas meal that he got. But they never did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have that since we didn't get like a final scene of him making up with his dad, I was like, did he ever make up with his dad? And then I wrote down, well, obviously he did because the show went on for 10 more seasons. So obviously he would have.
Yeah, him and his dad, you know, they fight all the time and they make up enough times. So this time, I guess they are just, oh, you know, they get over it because it's Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Good times. But yeah, that's the whole episode. So I think we're going to go into another commercial break, and when we come back, we have our favorite scene.
you want, like sweaters.
You gonna get that?
Levi's.
Looking good.
Yeah? Oh, yeah.
Luggage.
Oh, excuse me.
Ooh, we're jamming.
And Space Jam.
Polo, white diamond, sir.
So it's no surprise you'll find more last-minute gifts.
Beautiful. You've got to get that for her.
At JCPenney.
I got in, I got out. Nobody got hurt.
Hurry in for great savings on last-minute gifts.
The holidays are coming, and look what they're bringing. The new Crayola Collectible Holiday Tin, filled with a box of 64 crayons and a one-of-a-kind ornament. March right out and get one.
And we are back. Had fun with those Christmas commercials? We certainly did.
No, we always do. They're the best.
Oh, yes. So, to our not-so-new anymore segment. Favorite scene time, and it's your turn, Lyle, as we said before.
Yes, and my favorite scene has to be all the depressing calls. It is a little bit long. It's, I would say, 2-3 minutes long, maybe somewhere around there. But trust me, it's so funny.
Yes, so absolutely.
We're going to play it right now.
Although, Ned, we were certainly glad to hear from you and how you got mugged on your way home from the soup kitchen. Roz, who's next?
We have Don on line 5. He wants to tell us about a time when he was filled with the Christmas spirit.
It's about time. Hello, Don.
Hello, Dr. Crane. Something happened to me yesterday that kind of sums up why we call this a season of giving.
Well, then swaddle me in Christmas cheer.
Okay, well, see, I was driving home from the gym, and I suddenly realized I had left my favorite old pair of sneakers on the roof of the car. So I look back, and there's this homeless guy, and he'd already picked them up, and he's putting them on. So I just thought, what the hell? And I kept driving.
So your experience of the Christmas spirit would be that you didn't slam the car into reverse, speed back there, and rip a pair of smelly old sneakers out of a homeless man's hands. Well, Ross, this is special. I think we got Santa Claus himself on the line.
I'm sorry. That was the last time. I'm okay now. I'm really okay.
No, I'm not.
Barry, listen, I've got to put you on hold for a bit while you pull yourself together, but please, please stay on the line. I'd really like to help you.
It's all right. I think I've got a hold of myself.
So you see, Dr. Crane, I've fallen in the shower so many times. They can't fit any more pins in my hip.
Gladys, listen, can I put you on hold for a second? There's somebody else I have to check on. How's it going there, Barry? My sentiments exactly.
It still traumatizes me, Dr. Crane. I wake up nights and I remember that Christmas morning. I walked into my mother's bedroom, tears running down my face, and I said, Mommy, Mommy, the puppy Santa gave me won't wake up.
Okay, Tom, you win the prize for the saddest Christmas story we've heard today. Happy holidays.
And welcome back again, and this is a great time to go into the trivia because, as it is tradition with Frasier, the callers are for the most part celebrities on this show, and in this we had some very, very special celebrities as the guest callers. The callers are Eric Stoltz, who plays Dawn on the phone. We have Dominic Dunn as Jeff, Rosemary Clooney as Gladys, Ben Stiller as Barry, and comedy legend Mel Brooks as Tom. Amazing. Yes.
Mel Brooks had the best one out of everybody.
Mel Brooks is great, but it's always great. Like on one of the early episodes, we also had a very young Elijah Wood calling in.
Oh, nice. Got to bring it back. Yeah. Bring it back to our roots.
Yeah, absolutely. Ah, it's so fantastic. Always when you want to look up who guest callers were, they are always listed in the end credits of every episode. So
nice.
And yeah, it was great to hear all of these people.
Yeah. So another trivia: the episode title is a play on Miracle on 34th Street from 1947, and Jane Leaves, who plays Daphne, was in the remake of that film, Miracle on 34th Street, and I do believe we are doing that one very soon.
Yes, we are doing it. And, oh, I can't wait to see her at that movie. I actually can't remember her.
Yeah, I didn't know. I've never seen A Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh, yeah. So I'm looking forward to that now much more. Great. Another trivia is, even though Bonnie Williams has her picture up on the wall of a station for the majority of a series' 11 seasons run, this is the only time actress Catherine Danielle has a speaking role and credit in Frasier.
Yeah, and keeping up with Bonnie Weems, this marks the first appearance of the Office legend, in quotation marks. We learned that she hosts a show about cars.
Very interesting that she is hosting a show about cars in this day and age, nonetheless.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, no, but nowadays, I guess it's not that much gender role going on anymore. But back then, I thought cars were more a manly thing.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure of it, but eh. Whatever. It was the 90s.
That's true. The 90s.
So let's go into the IMDb reviews. And in the last episode, I said that for sure this one, Frasier, will have some reviews. And of course, it doesn't. It has zero reviews. So the episode is rated at a 8.6 out of 10. And that is with 631 IMDb review ratings.
That's so weird. With that many ratings, you would assume somebody actually wrote something.
I would have thought so too, but I thought Frasier, of course, and this one. Everyone loves Christmas and Halloween episodes. Why are there no reviews of any of these shows? Come on, people.
Yeah, and everybody loves Frasier. You know, everybody hates Chris, but everybody loves Frasier.
Yes, they love Frasier and they hate Chris. I don't understand, but I'm pretty sure if I look up Everyone Hates Chris, there's going to be a review for it.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm doing that right now. Everybody hates Chris. Let's see. Do you have anything to say, Lassa, while I check this out? Because I am going to be so mad if this Christmas episode has a review on it.
Yeah. My final thoughts on this episode is it's certainly a funny episode. It keeps within the humor of a show we all should know and love. The characters are well utilized. I wish there were some more interactions, but it's great to see Frasier on his own in this very awkward situation in the diner, and how he has to deal with depressed callers, and how it's just a not very enjoyable Christmas, but that makes us feel automatically better.
So I looked it up. Everybody Hates Chris does not have any reviews either. So I guess that's good.
I'm relieved. Okay.
I know.
So what are your final thoughts on the episode?
My final thoughts. I thought it was a great episode. It is one of those episodes that really gives you a nice Christmas message. Help others. Be, you know, loving, even though most of it was all depressed. Just because a lot of people are depressed during the holidays doesn't mean everybody is. You're going to find some light in all of that depression. And like, yeah, Frasier did. I mean, Frasier was basically about to go grab a noose and go just take care of business when when he got to that off the wall diner, and his spirit was renewed.
Yeah, it was really nice seeing that change of heart and him being being humbled by the generosity of the people in the diner, who all have way less than he.
Yeah, I just wish they would have done more with that character in the series. Like, if he would have came back and would have been able to, Frasier would have been able to do something for him and be like, hey, remember that Christmas that you helped me? Like, here, let me help you out. But it never happens. It's just, I don't know, something that would have been good if it did, but it didn't. So overall, the episode was good. I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. The colors were hilarious. The show is hilarious. It's very dry humor, though. So yeah, it's all, everyone in the show is a straight man. There is no like off-the-wall characters. Everyone is just 100% straight, saying the most ridiculous things. And that's what makes the show great.
Yeah, absolutely. I love dry humor. Actually, it feels so, ironically, it feels so very British, how they are always so so careful in being a proper and trying to be, you know, to keep their appearance in check, and it's and they are always ridiculed in some way. It feels so British, but it's an American show. It's very, very strange, but I love it for it.
Oh yeah, of course. So that is our final thoughts. And now we're going to go into reading our reviews, but we don't have anything new, so we need your help. If you would like us to give you a shout out, read your review of our podcast. Hopefully it's good. If it's bad, we'll probably skip over it, but I don't know.
No, we will read it too.
I will make Lasso read it.
And yes.
So leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We would love to hear what you have to say. And we may be giving things out for people that leave us a review. So if you want to be in that, you got to leave us a review. Make it a positive one.
Absolutely. Please do that.
Yeah, and we need to mention this more because we really don't. We are a part of a Christmas podcast network. So it's called the Christmas Podcast Network. You can find it on christmaspodcastnetwork.com. You can find a lot of good Christmas shows. If you don't get enough Christmas out of us, you can definitely go check out some of the other shows.
Yeah, absolutely do that. They are all great shows by wonderful people.
Yeah, so Lasse, I guess that's going to do it for this episode, unless you got something else to say.
Nope, nothing at all, except where people can find us and me.
Of course. So if you would like to send us any questions, comments, or want to suggest anything for a future show, and believe me, we do take those into consideration. Like, I believe next week we're doing a show that somebody requested, right, Lasse?
Yes, I actually think so.
Yeah, so, send us an email. Let us know you're having fun. Let us know what you want us to cover. We will cover it, and it would be a lot of fun. So you can send those to 90sChristmasPodcast@gmail.com. You could also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/90sChristmasPod, and we are on Twitter at 90sChristmasPod. Go interact with us or me, because Lasse does not do anything with that. I do. And we'll have some fun. Lasse, where can they find you?
I at least get the Facebook messages too, and reply to them every now and then. So yes, that's something.
Yeah, go hit up Lasse for something.
Yeah, absolutely. When you want to check my stuff out, go to Facebook and Twitter at Lasse Vogt. You can find me there. My own podcast is called It's the 90s. No. Okay. Our podcast.
Now who's
is
the
90s.
One that messes up, huh?
I never said that I don't mess up. You just do it more often than I do.
I do it so many times.
My own podcast is called Fans About Films. You can find it on SoundCloud and iTunes. My YouTube channel is called The Deppert, and I write German soundtrack reviews for scoregeek.wordpress.com. And if you speak German, I'm part of the Tele Stammtisch podcast, where I am part of a team, and we get sent to press screenings, and we also get screeners and review DVDs sent to our houses. It's really amazing to be able to do that, and I have some new reviews up for films as Dumbo, Shazam, and The Nutcracker and The Four Realms. So if you speak German, check that show out. Also findable on iTunes.
Sounds great. So we will see you next week for another episode of It's a 90s Christmas Podcast. You guys have a good night.
Have a good night and a lovely Christmas with you only, Dr. Fraser Crane.
Good night, Seattle. We love you.
Oh, you have to leave it in.